Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from Fort Lauderdale. And I know that for the past couple of shows, I've given you a quick weather report at the beginning of the show, and I have to give one here because this morning I woke up, it was 49 degrees. Now, most of you, you're probably thinking, ooh, pool day. But not down here. I had to go find a jacket, which was in another room with a closet, and it was wrinkly and all of that stuff. But it's getting a little bit better, and I am joined today by a gentleman who also lives in Florida, also had to experience some cold, but lives on the other side of the coast. And that is a gentleman who was with us all the way back in May, and that is Doug Hazelman from Cloudberry Labs. Doug, how are you?
I'm good. I am trying to stay warm just like you. It's a little bit cooler up here in St. Petersburg, but we're gonna muddle through it.
So. Yeah, you still have long sleeves on. At least I can. I've got a t-shirt under the shirt, but I have short sleeves. So, all right. So, folks, we've got Doug back with Cloudberry. We're actually going to be doing a couple of shows with Cloudberry. I've got another interview coming up in probably another week or so with a company that provides MSP services and has been using Cloudberry. I don't want to jinx that too much, so we're not going to give you too many details, but thought we'd have Doug back on and kind of talk about what's new and happening since the last time. So, Doug, we're just going to dive right into it. No stories, no icebreakers. Let's just get to it. So, since May, what's been happening?
A lot of great things. We continue to, make updates to our managed backup platform. And that's the nice thing about having a SaaS solution is, we can deliver those updates relatively quickly and on an iterative basis. So since we've talked last, one of the biggest things we've added is backup for EC2. We kind of had it before, but we've made some enhancements to that. So now we work in conjunction with Amazon EC2 Snapshot. So if you have VMs running in Amazon Cloud, you want to back those up, we can now take full advantage of the EC2 snapshotting mechanism along with our mechanisms for, kind of getting the system state and everything in a ready to be backed up status. So it's two things that work together. To give you a nice snapshot backup on Amazon.
Okay. So you had the backup before, but just not the snapshot portion of it.
Correct. You could always, you could always run our Windows or Linux agent inside a VM and do a backup. But, the actual going down to the EC2 layer, the snapshot level and doing that was not really there.
Okay. Now, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, we also... we introduced a new feature for Wasabi, yes. Which is an extremely popular storage platform for a lot of our customers just because of the pricing and the reliability. They're very good. But we added synthetic backup support for Wasabi. Again, that's something we had for Amazon S3. We introduced it, I think it was October for Wasabi. And essentially what that means is you don't have to do a full backup once a week and send it to the cloud. We can create that full backup synthetically in the cloud using the APIs and things available from Wasabi, just like we can on S3 for Amazon.
Okay. That's exactly what I was going to bring up. I had seen the announcement with the 5.9.2 release where you could do the synthetic backup. So nice things to add and, obviously, great benefits to everybody doing Cloudberry stuff. So, we probably should have talked about this earlier, but that I'm still not using Cloudberry because I've got it built into my RMM and mm-hmm. I'm using the Datto. But I know that a lot of people have been making a jump from other products to Cloudberry. And one of the things that they have mentioned is support seems to be so much faster with Cloudberry that, things are getting addressed and fixed quickly. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to at least mention that to you that I have seen that out in the, I believe the word is Twitterverse, and on the Facebook, that people have been saying stuff like that. And I did some Facebook trolling on you and saw that you had a nice little discussion in the last couple of days over some CloudBerry stuff.
Yes. Yeah, an IT
business owners group.
Yes, I can try to keep it straight. But we're kind of sponsoring that group now. So you'll see us in the announcement. We have a special offer for them there if you're a member of that group. And it was great because I posted the announcement yesterday and got a lot of really good, you know, interaction from the people in that group. So you know, a lot of people saying good things about CloudBerry. You know, some people said, oh, well, does it do this or does it do that? You know trying to answer those questions. So it was really happy with the engagement in terms of, you know, from that group on that posting.
All right. So of course, you know, these people have lots of time to sit and ask you questions and you couldn't get back to all of them, but you know, at least a couple of things where you had to tell people, yes, we're working on things, baby steps.
Yes,
they are coming. One of which was the monthly pricing that the MSPs have been asking for.
Yes.
And I think that you said that that's something in the works and just kind of soon, but you know.
Yeah. So it's something if you're a brand new customer, you should see it as an option. And I know that we will get feedback on this. I'm prepared for it. Just like I did on that Facebook post. There is a minimum deposit required in order to get monthly billing. And we don't do that to hurt the MSPs. We do that because in the past, when we've talked about monthly billing and tried to offer it, we get the very, very small MSPs that want like two licenses, and at $10 each a month, the transaction processing and things like that, it's difficult. So that's why we ask for a deposit. It's kind of like a commitment. We may in the future do a minimum order type thing. We're still ironing out the details, but I'm pretty sure after the first of the year, we're going to have some much better announcements in terms of where we're going with monthly pricing, because yes, I hear you. I heard everyone on it. And it's something that I'm really, really pushing for, and I want to get it right.
Okay. So I think that you're in the same boat as a lot of companies where you're going after MSPs, but you want to be sure that, like you said, there's a commitment. And there's, you know, most of the companies have an onboarding process and fee.
Yes.
And it's basically to say, look, we're putting a lot of stuff out for you. We need for you to commit because let's face it, in our industry, you know, techs kind of go from company to company like dust in the wind. Or
yes.
Is that right? No. Like if you die. No, techs aren't dying. But I mean, I get it. And you know, for CloudBerry, now you actually, I guess we can go ahead and move into this topic, that you're in both worlds. You're in a residential world and you're in an MSP world.
Yes.
So a lot of people get introduced to you through the residential side because that's what they see out on the web. If you see a review of CloudBerry, it's the standalone product, not the managed service platform. So now I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're actually on the MSP side, so you don't actually deal with residential, but I'm sure you get a lot of texts that come at you from the residential side. So let's start with how do you deal with that?
Well, so just to understand it is to kind of talk about our history a little bit. And, you know, CloudBerry really started with utilities for Amazon, CloudBerry Drive, CloudBerry Explorer, those types of things, and realized, hey, you know, we could create a backup that goes to S3. So CloudBerry Backup standalone was born, you know, first S3, then Azure, and, you know, supported a bunch of cloud platforms. And as that started to gain traction, it was kind of, we heard from some MSPs saying, hey, we'd like a way to manage this. And so then was born, oh, well, let's take what we learned from the standalone backup and create a platform for IT service providers, managed service providers to use. That has the centralized control. It's a SaaS platform, all those types of things. And so that's where our managed backup service was born. And that's what MSPs typically use is our managed backup service. Now, because of that history, unfortunately, sometimes a feature will show up in standalone before it shows up in the managed backup. But we're really trying for feature parity in there. But I know that's been some feedback in the past is, well, why can I do this in standalone, but I can't do it in a managed backup service? It's because we completely redesigned the backup when we went to managed backup. So it's two different code bases.
All right. So I'm trying to be delicate about this because I am.
Oh, you're fudging me. It's all right.
Well, because I'm known as the man in the van. So for all practical purposes, even though I've had techs and I subcontract out, I have office staff, for the most part, I'm a solo tech. But I don't do residential customers. I don't do, for the most part, onesie, twosie types offices. I think I've only got one customer that's less than five. Most of my customers, you know, are going to be businesses that are of good size. They have a server. They're more network based. So all of the things that I do is based on a business side. But I know a lot of techs have to start out somewhere, and they may start on the residential side. And so I want to be delicate in the fact that techs do need to understand the difference. And if you're supporting residential, the standalone is going to be fine. But if you're going to support businesses from a managed perspective as a managed service provider, there's going to be differences.
Correct. So, and we have, and, you know, but, you know, again, history, we have a lot of techs who will start off with standalone. They'll buy, you know, five or six licenses for a couple of customers that they're supporting. They'll like it. And then they realize, hey, it would be much better if I could actually manage the solution. So then they'll switch to our managed solution. So, you know, not to say that standalone is just for residential. I mean, it is, honestly, you know, because it's not managed, but a lot of techs will start out there and then move to our managed platform. So it still is kind of a foot in the door for us, for some techs who, you know, are, like you said, just starting out, a very small, or your deal with the onesie twosie offices. It's a okay solution, but if they want to take things seriously and grow, then they realize they need to go to a managed site.
Right. So let's talk in a general sense, I guess, not just, you know, take off your Cloudberry hat for a second, and let's talk about consumer versus professional backup. So there was a white paper released that actually talked about that and really spelled out the differences and pros and cons of each. And let me pull up the paper here.
Yeah, it focused on, you know, types of cloud storage. And, you know, it's kind of in, you know, if you're in IT, then you understand that Dropbox is not S3. Or at least hopefully.
Well, you should.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, there's strengths and weaknesses on both of them. So we did a white paper just to kind of spell out, hey, you know, there's the consumer kind of side of things with the, you know, like Dropbox or I think it focused on OneDrive, Google Drive, and Amazon Drive as the three consumer side, kind of consumer facing. And then like S3, Azure Storage, Google Storage on the business side, and kind of concluded then as well with I think Backblaze and Wasabi. So, you know, but the idea is just to kind of point out that just like standalone versus managed, you know, consumer cloud services are not going to give you the resiliency and the security that a corporate cloud, what, you know, so-called corporate cloud solution is going to give you. There's a lot of differences.
Okay. So I was going to ask a question based on, you know, those three, the, you know, the Google Drive, the Amazon Drive, because I don't really see those. I mean, I see those as storage. I don't see those as backup, in a sense where I know that a lot of people, that's what they just, oh, it's in the cloud, it's backed up.
Yeah.
But to me, those are more just, you know, areas of storage that you share from device to device.
Yep.
But that shouldn't be your backup.
Correct. correct. Yes, you are correct.
Ding, ding, ding for me. And then there's also the, I guess I think I remember reading the phrase lack of security controls in those consumer grade products. until you get to the professionals ones where you have security. You have, what's the phrase I'm looking for? You have more, integrations, more. You have a lot more built onto it.
And you have granular control.
Okay. Yes. That's what I meant. Granular control. Right.
And you have granular control on your security. You can say, hey, this one area, I want to share out to this group and only that group, right? It doesn't have to be shared public that anybody has a link can get to it. You can lock it down. It's same as on a file server, right? You've got files and you can allow access to some and deny access to others. And you can do the same, it's much easier to do that in a corporate type cloud solution like Amazon, S3 or Azure, Google, than it is to kind of do it in a consumer on the, what I call files. It's basically file sync and share, is what it is, right? You sync your files to the cloud. You can click on it. You can share it. But then anybody who has the link can then actually, click that file and get that file. So you've kind of, as soon as you send out a link to a file, you've given up control because you haven't necessarily shared it with that one person. You've shared it as a link that pretty much anyone can click on. And I know some do have some more control over that, but that's kind of the idea, is you don't have that control. And also the other issue, you said it's not backup, because as you send these files to the cloud, what is that provider doing to protect those files? So as you send them to Dropbox or Google Drive or Azure or OneDrive, are they backing those up?
Well,
if something happens,
they tell you, they tell you that they're replicated across their data centers.
Yes. And they have data centers around the world and that's great. But if a corruption happens, they get synchronized up, and you don't realize it maybe or you get hit by, one of those crypto things, right?
Yep.
And you don't realize it for a while. Guess what? Even if, they may not have versioning and those types of things, your files are just as bad locally as they are on the cloud. And that's kind of where that protection comes in, or lack thereof.
All right. So you mentioned the crypto thingy, because
yes. I mean,
that, people think that's over and done with. We've whipped, I forget what the original name was even, but it's still out there. Mm-hmm. Different variants, different formats, under the new guise of ransomware now.
Yeah.
And having something in addition to your cloud storage as backup is really going to be one of the steps. It isn't the step, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, another white paper you guys put out that you have to have an entire ransomware strategy.
Yes. Ransomware, and I always thought, backup, you need a backup no matter what, right? But backup can definitely help in the event that you get hit with ransomware. Especially if it's air gapped, if it's stored off site, or even on tape, right? I mean, tape is one of the best protections against ransomware. As long as the tape's not loaded in the changer, you should be good. It's kind of like, that's really the only effective mechanism, is if you do get hit and for whatever reason, your data, as long as you have a copy of it somewhere that's not touchable by, whatever spread the ransomware to begin with, then you can get most of your data back. But you really need to consider, everything, not just backup. You've got to look at, your perimeter, what's coming in, user education, all these types of things, are built into a ransomware strategy. It's not just, hey, I got a backup, I don't have to worry about ransomware, because that's not the case. You don't want to have to rely on your backup when you get attacked. It's good to have, and definitely need it, but you want to stop it before it gets that far.
Well, let's talk about detection for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked at your stuff, so I don't know if this is the case, but I know that one of the features that some of the backup programs have added is detection, so mm-hmm. that after a backup is done, the software or system is actually checking for those change files in ransomware. And I know that CloudBerry itself, is kind of like the gateway to S3, and you're not actually the backup program, but have you guys looked at adding detection into your platform?
That's something that's, we've actually had it in there for about a year now.
Okay.
We continue to improve it. Okay. Just like you said, you know, when you have backup software, a backup software is essentially looking at all the data. And if it notices changes, irregular changes in that data, you know, through heuristics and some other things, then it can say, hey, I'm going to flag this because this is outside of the normal parameters. It might be ransomware. You know, we don't have things in there that detect exactly what specific one it is. All we can say is, hey, we noticed an issue. You might want to check this out. It looks suspicious, like it might be ransomware. So that's the idea of ransomware protection. And pretty much all backup solutions have added that in over the last several years, just because, you know, backups are the ones that are looking at the data every day, and touching it. And hey, guess what? You know, 2 million files just got changed in the last 24 hours. That's not normal. So we need to flag that and, you know, say, take a look.
Okay. I ask that because I haven't looked at a ton of other backup stuff. When I made my switch, I think I made it 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons that I switched, is because that was added to the one product I'm using. And that's huge for me. Mm-hmm. So if they're glad that you guys have it, and if everybody else has it, great. But Cloudberry's still ahead of you guys. So let me ask a couple of technical feature questions. So
I will try to answer.
When the MSPs get their platform up and they're managing mm-hmm. all their backups, and I know that they could, you know, have multiple backup products inside of the Cloudberry. Is it the manager? Is that what it's called?
So it's the Cloudberry Managed Backup Service, and okay. we call it MBS. It's hosted in S3. Everyone uses the same platform. You know, but when you get an account, you get your area. You can set up your customers, their computers, you know, the users and all that type of stuff. And that's where you go to manage the backups within Cloudberry.
Okay. And all of the features that you talked about in terms of like detection mount for ransomware and all of that stuff. So alerts can be set up that go out to, now, do the MSPs have it to where the alerts go just to them, or can it go to the clients? How does that work?
You can do it either way. Most of them don't want it sent to the clients. Okay. they want to kind of keep that to themselves. But you know, there's a couple of different ways to do it. You can do it where everything just comes into our managed backup service, and you manage everything from there, and you can have email reports sent out, you know, to you. But you can also integrate in with your RMM and PSA. Okay. So we have integration with ConnectWise Manage as well as Automate, Autotask, and there's some Ninja integration. So, you know, we integrate with a couple of different platforms to help, you know, raise those tickets or raise those alerts, you know, not just within our system, but within others as well.
Okay. All right. You answered a couple of the questions there. And I know that I had asked you before, you had it was called the white label service back then, or it was going to be something like that, but I don't know if that's still the case, but I know that you have full rebranding.
Yes.
On your service.
Yes.
So go ahead.
We call it rebranding or advanced rebranding. It's $129.99 a year. So it's not overly expensive. And even if you go into our managed backup solution without the rebranding, you kind of notice that there's not a lot of Cloudberry around it. But what the rebranding allows you to do is add your own logo. So that shows up in all the different dialog boxes. You can, you know, add your own text in some places. And then also you can do, you know, you can also do your own branded URL as well. To the service, or because there's the side that the MSP uses to manage everything. And then there's the side that they can allow access to the consumer, to the customer to use to do some of their own recoveries and those types of things. Whether or not they do that is completely optional. Not everyone wants their customers going in and doing their own recoveries. They want to manage it for them. But that is an option, and you can do rebranding on that as well.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I don't think I have a couple of customers that have access to restore files, but usually I like the idea of the rebranding because if I'm on site mm-hmm. having to do a restore, I can go in through that branded portal and they can see, well, no, this is MB Systems backup. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And you know, the other thing too is, while you can, what might appear on the client can be completely rebranded, you can also suppress all client notifications as well. So, you know, that so that it won't show up in the start menu. It's not going to show up in the system tray. You know, they're not going to see it unless they go into services or they take a look at the directory structure under program files, you know, to see, hey, there's this backup service there. And even then, it's I don't think it's called Cloudberry. So,
okay, great. All right. Well, those are all my new questions that I had since May, the last time we chatted. I didn't have anything else, but anything else that pops up in your mind that you want to make sure that the listeners hear?
You know, one of the things that, you know, that I've been brought on to do is just reach out to the MSPs, to the community, and, you know, and try to help build a community around Cloudberry. But, you know, for me, it's just getting to know the community itself. You know, people like yourselves that do podcasts and those types of things. I've been on several. We also launched our own podcast. It's called MSP Voice. Yep. That I host, MSPvoice.com, if you want to go check it out. And what I wanted to do with that is I don't talk about Cloudberry, right? It's MSP Voice presented by Cloudberry, and then that's
you talk about anything but Cloudberry. I know, well, I've listened to them,
and it's not you know, sometimes the MSP will, if they're a Cloudberry customer, they'll talk about Cloudberry, and that's fine. But I don't want it to be just another vendor podcast talking about the vendor. You know, I want it to be, you know, for the community as something, you know, hey, there's a ton of MSPs out there. They all have their own experiences. Why not share that with the community in general?
Right.
And so that's the idea of that. And then we're also doing some webinars now where I'm bringing in vendors to talk about what they have to offer for MSPs. So we did one today with Mind Matrix, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it. They've been to ASCII and the different shows. But, you know, just another way to kind of, in a webinar series versus a podcast, kind of let the vendors talk about, hey, this is what we have to offer for the MSP. So that's what else I'm working. That's what I've been working on since we last talked.
Well, and I was going to say, you've done a ton of the MSP Voice stuff, and I've listened to several of them. Of course, I'm a little behind, but I mean, you've had other people on, and you've had topics, you know, free stuff, and you're not too young for IT, and a lot of different things. And of course, MSP is simply just talking about what they do, mm-hmm. which is, you know, always great for us because, you know, we get to learn from other people in the industry. So,
yeah. And I find it very interesting. You know, we talk about verticals, you know, in this business. And, you know, I had Daniel DeSteno on a couple of weeks ago talking about, you know, dentist as a vertical, but, you know, in terms of what he's done, I call it his dentist executive briefing center. If you've ever been to like an executive briefing center at like Dell or somewhere like that, where they bring the customer in and show them all the latest and greatest hardware and those types of things. That's what he's done for dentists. He's built this briefing center that has all the latest dental technology in that one space. And he can bring a dentist in and say, do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? And they can actually see it, touch it, you know, and determine if they want to use it. I'm like, that's really kind of a cool thing to do. So just one example.
All right. I'm going to have to get back up to speed here. Yeah, that was back. Yeah, back in November, so I got to get caught up. All right. So MSP Voice, folks, I will have a link to that in the show note, and along with some of the other stuff that we've talked about. And I think I'm going to put links into where they can go, the topics that we kind of really glossed over, the ransomware, the value of backup, and then the consumer versus professional cloud storage are actually white papers. They were released by Cloudberry, but they are not Cloudberry specific.
Correct.
So I will put the links to the white paper section where you can go and request those to get downloaded. And I think that's it. We don't have anything else. This isn't really a true promo commercial, so...
No, it's all good. So it's always nice to have a chat with you. You know, and like I said, hopefully we'll have you on MSP Voice here soon as well.
I will do that. I will do that. All right. So folks, we've been chatting with Doug Hazelman from Cloudberry and just doing a little bit of catch up. and kind of a precursor to some of the shows that will be coming up in the next few weeks, and my appearance on MSP Voice.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope you have some good questions for me that I can actually answer.
And I'll see what I can do.
So that was it. A nice, short, and sweet podcast. And Doug, thank you very much for coming on. And I'm sure we'll have you on again, and I'll be on your show, and we'll be seeing each other in the airwaves.
It'll all be good. Thank you a lot, Marvin. I really appreciate it.
All right. So go bundle up and enjoy the cool weather as we move into a Florida winter. And all that means, folks, is that it'll be warm in a day or two.
Yeah, it's going to be 80 by Saturday. So we'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. So you've been listening to another episode of Podnuts Pro. Again, my guest, Doug Hazelman with Cloudberry. Folks, I want to thank you for your continued support, listening and downloading the show. Please go look at the show note. You'll see the links for Cloudberry in there. You'll also see links to help support the Podnuts Pro episodes by clicking on an Amazon link where you can buy your stuff through Amazon. Same price, same good stuff, but a little bit of pennies will come back to me to help keep these shows going. So that's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. Thank you very much. And until next time, holla.